Trinadapi suniche na, tororiva sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. Harenama, harenama, harenama eva kevalam. Kalo nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatiranyata. So you see on the board here, let's all recite it together. Everybody? So this is only the second time that I've done this particular lecture that I'm going to do, which I call the Highway of Life. So it's very clear here that it's the same message as the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, that you, the living entity, are not your body. Here, the body is compared to a machine, yantra, or you could say a car, automobile. So the car has different instruments, steering wheel and clutch and so many different things, especially nowadays. They've made it with so many features in the car. So those different instruments of the car can be compared to your senses. The body has 10 senses, 5 working senses, such as the hands, legs, throat, genital, and anus. And it has 5 knowledge-acquiring senses, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin. So just as the car has different instruments, the body also has different instruments or senses. And just like we have 2 legs, the car has 4 wheels. Without the wheels, you're not driving anywhere. So you need your legs to take you from one place to another. Okay, so there's our first analogy. And what do you put in the car to make it run? Gas and oil. And so the body also needs food in order for it to work. And in the Bhagavad Gita, food is classified as being in the mode of ignorance, food or eating in the mode of passion, and food or eating in the mode of goodness. And depending on the car you have to put in a particular grade of gasoline in order to get the best use of your car. So the same way, the Bhagavad Gita recommends, if you want to get the most out of your body, then you should eat in the mode of goodness. Vegetables, fruits, milk products, nuts, foods, simple foods in the mode of goodness, just like you all like the restaurant that we have here, right? Because it's food in the mode of goodness, coming in the mode of goodness. And as I said the other night, you have the best restaurant, I think, in the whole world. That's my 2 cents worth. Because you have some amazing cooks who can cook American, Indian, Latino, can do anything. Amazing. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's explained that if you eat foods in the mode of goodness, your body will not get very sick. You'll be healthy. If you eat food in the mode of passion, then that kind of food causes distress to the body, and then eating in the mode of ignorance just brings you down lower and lower and lower. So you have to take care of your car, putting gas and oil. You also have to take care of your body. And the Bhagavad Gita outlines nicely how to utilize your body. Okay, now I said that the lecture is called The Highway of Life. So on any highway, it's either going north or south, east or west. If you're going in one direction, there's also an opposite direction. So in life, some of us are going straight up. The goal is to go back home, back to Godhead. That's the goal of the highway of life. Not to get detoured, but to proceed straight on this highway, and at the end of this life, return back to Krishna, back to Godhead. But what's the opposite way? Going south, you're going towards hell. And the Bhagavad Gita is very clear. There is a hell. Some people like to say, oh, that's just euphemism. No. Krishna mentions there's a hell. And the Srimad Bhagavatam gives you a guided tour through hell. There's one whole chapter, the final chapter of the fifth canto. You get a guided tour. In this hell, you'll experience this. Shukadeva Goswami, I think, explains 26 or 28 different kinds of hellish planets. And I read that chapter and I go, oh, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Because I don't want to go there. So I want to stay on this path going back to Godhead. In Sanskrit, it's called Apavarga Vartmani, the path of liberation. So that's the path when you take to Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad Gita, you're on this path, Apavarga, the path of liberation. But if you're going in the other direction, and Krishna says, there are three, you could say, exits to go to hell. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says there's three gates. But in our analogy, we'll say there are three exits. The first exit, lust. What is lust? Donald Trump. lust is, I knew I had to get it in there at some point. He's been the target of my jokes for many months now. It's so easy. Anyway, lust means that I want to enjoy this material world to its fullest extent. I don't care about right or wrong, good or bad. If it feels good, I'm going to do it. If I can enjoy, I'm going to do it. And I don't want any restrictions. I don't want anybody telling me what I can or cannot do. I want to enjoy. That is lust. I want to enjoy everything that's available in this material world. The second exit to go to hell is called anger. And we learn from Bhagavad Gita that anger is a causal result of trying to chase after the objects of the senses. But Krishna points out that inevitably you will become frustrated. Anyone who is pursuing the life of lust, trying to enjoy the various senses, it has to end in frustration. Because as Krishna says here, he's directing the wanderings. So it is Krishna who has set up the highway. And we'll go into more details. Everything that is being described, it's all been set up by Krishna. I'm sure many of you years ago saw that movie series, The Matrix. So that Matrix is actually a true concept. But who set up the Matrix? Krishna. He has set up the Matrix. So anger, the part of the Matrix that Krishna has set up, the way it is designed, you chase after the objects of the senses. You're not going to be... We learned that back in 1965. It was the number one record in the summer of 65. We heard it 24 hours a day. I can't get no satisfaction. We heard it. He was speaking. We didn't know it back then, but that idiot was speaking the absolute truth. Because that's exactly what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Chasing sense gratification, there is no satisfaction. So, what happens when you don't get satisfied? You tried to be satisfied. You tried to enjoy your senses, but you become frustrated. And after frustration, you become angry. And that anger has to be checked. If it's not checked, Krishna says, it's going to drag you down to hell. That's the second exit. Then the third exit, greed. When you're in Krishna consciousness, you develop what is called brahminical qualities. One of the brahminical qualities is that you learn to be satisfied with what Krishna provides for you. Just like those of us who are living here in this temple and regularly attending. So, breakfast is served, and whatever it is, you take the prasadam, you're happy. So, a brahmana, if Krishna puts him in a simple living condition, he learns how to be happy. If Krishna puts him in an opulent situation, he learns to be happy. There's a very wonderful example of this in the Krishna book of Sudama Brahmana. He was a class friend of Krishna. So all throughout his life, he was extremely poor. But he was happy. Even though he was poor, he was happy with his God consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Later on, towards the end of his life, he got benedicted by Krishna with extreme opulence. But he didn't change. He was the same Sudama. When he was poor, he was happy in his Krishna consciousness. When he had an opulent palace, it's not that he became a different person. He was the same humble, simple Sudama, happy in his Krishna consciousness. So a devotee, one in Krishna consciousness, Krishna sometimes will provide a very comfortable situation. The devotee is happy. Or sometimes Krishna will put the devotee in a distressful situation. Doesn't matter. He'll be happy in his Krishna consciousness. But a greedy person, this is the problem with a greedy person. The greedy person has $1,000 today, and he's thinking, nah, I must get 2,000. So he may get 2,000. And the next day he's thinking, nah, 4. He's never satisfied with what he's got. That's a greedy person. It never ceases to amaze me. You read all these accounts of millionaires and billionaires. You would think they, okay, I have enough money, let me live. No. What are they thinking? I got to increase more. This is a demoniac mentality. I have to increase my material acquisitions. But it's silly. I've said so many times over the past 30 years, Who's the richest man right now in the world? Anybody know who it is? Okay, so yeah, that's the one I usually give. Sometimes it changes. It's Gates, and then it's Indian guy. Then it's, anyway, everybody knows Bill Gates, right? So Bill Gates has got billions. But when death comes knocking, how much can Mr. Gates take with him? Huh? Nothing. And if Yamaraj comes, Mr. Gates, come with me. Mr. Gates can't go, okay, Yamaraj, let's make a deal. I'll give you stock options. Yamaraj is not going to be bought out. He can't take one microchip with him. Nothing. Prabhupada used to always say, I think it's a very common Hindu aphorism. You come into this world with nothing, and you leave with nothing. So this whole materialistic pursuit, you've seen the bumper sticker. I know in Los Angeles, I see them all the time. He who dies with the most toys wins. It's so silly. You can't take your toys with you. You have to leave it all behind. Bye-bye. And death is coming. Yamaraj is coming to a theater near you. Death. You can't take anything with you. So this whole concept of greed is a ludicrous position. So Krishna says, these three exits, lust, anger, greed, they lead to the degradation of the soul. They bring you to hell. And therefore, Krishna says, therefore, the sane person gives these up. So if you know anybody that's lusty or greedy or angry, just know, oh, they're insane. Not you. Because you're not lusty, otherwise you wouldn't be here. If you were lusty, greedy, or angry, you would have left after the first 2 minutes. But you're not. You're not like that. You're devotees. Different, we're all at different stages in our progression, but we're all devotees. Okay? Okay. Now, on this highway, you all know, I don't know about here, but in Los Angeles, you have many roads of four-lane highways. So the slow lane is that first lane, and that's compared to the mode of ignorance, going slow, going nowhere fast. The second lane is the mode of passion, a little more progress. The third lane is the mode of goodness. You're advancing nicely on the material platform, gradually elevating, but then there's the express lane, the diamond lane. That's the devotee's lane. When you come to Krishna consciousness, now you're on the express lane. You're zooming. As long as you stay on this path of Krishna consciousness, just hold on. You are going to go back home, back to Godhead. In fact, Prabhupada said, not once, not twice, he said it hundreds of times, if you simply chant this Maha Mantra and give up sinful life, you will go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. How many people accept that? Good. You should accept it. Because Prabhupada said. I once met someone who said, I don't believe that. And I said, I feel sorry for you. Because just have complete faith in Prabhupada. I know for me, from when I started to where I'm now, it's like, how could I ever give up following Prabhupada? Not after all this time. And I've seen the progress. Yes, just ask my wife. She'll tell you, you got a long way to go, buddy. But still, I have seen the progress in my life. I've seen the difference. So there's no reason to give up Prabhupada. Stay on that diamond lane and go back home, back to Godhead. Now, I'm sure it's the same here, but in Los Angeles, California, in order to get your driver's license, you have to take a driver's test, but you also have to take a written test because there's a book called The Vehicle Code. I once bought it. It's like this thick with all the different laws. And if you get stopped by the policeman, you can't give the argument, officer, I didn't know it was wrong to drive 100 miles an hour in the school zone. But ignorance is no excuse. You took the exam. It is presumed that you're supposed to know the rules of the road. Ignorance is no excuse. So in the same way, Krishna has given us one very good book, Bhagavad Gita. If you learn Bhagavad Gita, you'll have everything at your disposal how to go back home, back to Godhead. And Prabhupada has written that book so nicely, whether you are very educated or whether you just can read. Anyone can understand Bhagavad Gita. If there's some words you don't understand, there's a book called the dictionary. Or now on with the internet and with computers, you just got to go on Google. Okay, what does this word mean? It's like there, within 2 seconds. In the olden days, you had to flip through the ease. Okay, here. Now with Google, everything is so... Oh, that's what that word means. Okay. So everyone should know the rules of the highway of life. And that book is what? Bhagavad Gita. All right. Now, just like in the system, you have your traffic police, you have your highway patrol, and they're looking for you to make a mistake. That's their job. They're watching you. So similarly, Krishna has his agents. Actually, the Bhagavatam says there are 13 witnesses to every action we commit. So you're not getting away with anything. I used to think, oh, I'm doing this. Nobody, my parents don't know. Nobody knows. Yes. You may be able to fool everybody else, but you can't fool Krishna. He has 13 witnesses, especially Krishna himself, because he's in the heart. You know that song at Christmas time? He knows when you are. That's Krishna, super soul. He sees everything we do. And besides Krishna, there are 12 other witnesses that note down everything the living entity does. And there's also, I don't know if you have it here, but in Los Angeles, they've come up with this photo thing. They don't need a policeman. They have this camera, and if you go through the red light, click, and then you get this notice in the mail with your face and your license, and you have to pay the fine, $300, $400, $500. I hate those things. Because what happens is you're going and the light is just about to change and the guy's going, come on, come on, come on. And you think, I can make it. But just as you cross the... Ah! So there is an infallible system in Krishna's matrix. Every indiscretion is marked down. Now, also, when you're driving, whether it be the highway or on the streets, there are so many signs that are telling you, do this now, don't do this, you should drive at this speed, you can't make a left turn here, you can't do this. So when you lead a religious life in the mode of goodness, then there are so many restrictions. Person in the mode of ignorance, he just says, I don't care about this. I'm just going to do whatever I want. But a person in the mode of goodness, he's conscientious. So that person pays attention to things I'm supposed to do and things I'm not supposed to do. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the demon doesn't know what he should do and doesn't know what he should not do. Whereas a person in the mode of goodness knows what he should do and knows things that he's not supposed to do. So this is learned when you study Bhagavad Gita. And my recommendation is that everyone should be reading Bhagavad Gita every day. Some people think, oh, religion? All right, one day a week. I got more important things, basketball games and football. But, okay, I'll give an hour on Sunday. But Bhagavad Gita is not like that. Bhagavad Gita is something you should be reading every day because you want to stay in this. Either you want to stay in the mode of goodness, lane number three, but as a devotee, you want to stay in that diamond lane, you must read Bhagavad Gita daily. All right, let's see what else we got. Oh, what's the biggest problem on the highway? The other drivers. That's our biggest problem. So in life, it's the same way. Is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the problem? It's called social intercourse. The problem, okay, on the highway, the problem is I'm trying to go certain direction and somebody else also wants to go there and doesn't care about anyone. He just cuts me off. You have all had that expression, right? You've gone through that. And you feel like, da, 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 da. But remember, anger. When I was a brand new devotee, probably the first time, it was my first Sunday feast. Something happened and somebody did something to me. So I got angry and I was about to curse. And the devotee said, this is how you do it. It was actually Jadurani. So she said, instead of saying a curse word, this is what you do. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So you vent your anger, but what came out? Transcendental sound vibration. Now I have to give my wife credit because if she's driving or we're driving together, if something happens without even thinking, what comes out? Sri Krishna Chaitanya. It's amazing that she's caught into that platform, no matter what happens. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So it's a matter, otherwise, if something else comes out of your mouth, it's not going to help you. So you train yourself that even in moments, or just like when you sneeze, right? This is how you should sneeze. Achyuta! Achyuta is the name of Krishna. So there's a way to spiritualize even your sneezing. And there's great transcendental profit out of this. So you have to be careful, just like with other drivers in your life, you have to be careful of other people and you can't let them disturb your spiritual life. You have to drive your car in such a way that this person is trying to do this, this person is trying to do that, but you don't want to get entangled. So somehow or other, Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta teaches, somehow or other live in this world, but try to avoid this unnecessary social contact and stay fixed on your path going back to Godhead. Now, another thing, just like there are different grades and different kinds of cars, not all cars are the same. So in the same way, there are different kinds of bodies. It is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the demigods' bodies are of a very high quality. So they have Bentley, Mercedes-Benz bodies. And human bodies, they're like Toyota Corollas, you know. They're good, but not as good as the Mercedes Bentleys, okay? So everyone has a particular body which has been awarded to them due to their past karma. Again, if you have Krishna consciousness, you understand, okay, like, I don't know about you, but when I look in the mirror, this is what I do. I don't like to look at the mirror. And I realize, okay, this is what I have. I have nobody to blame but me. Right? And no Botox is going to fix this one. I mean, it's a little too late for that. I'm not ever going to look like Brad Pitt. So, you just accept, all right, this is the car I have. And Prabhupada has a brilliant expression. I learned this expression very early, but it's such a wonderful aphorism. Make the best use of a bad bargain. Having this material body is a bad bargain. It's got planned obsolescence. You know what that means? Planned obsolescence. Everything in the material world is designed to break down, so you have to buy another one. They design it. There's no perfect thing in this world. Otherwise, everyone would go out of business. So when you buy a car or a computer or a phone or whatever it is, they make it in such a way that after so many years, you have to get a new one. So similarly, with our own bodies, there's a expiration date. And my expiration date is different than yours. But at some day, it's going to happen. Bye-bye this car. Bye-bye this body. Gotta turn it in. So whatever kind of body you have, make the best use of this bad bargain by engaging it in Krishna consciousness. That's making the best use of a bad bargain. Whatever talents you have, use it for Krishna. Whatever desires you have, use those desires to serve Krishna. Whatever you have been given in this life, utilize it fully to love and serve Krishna. Okay, and if that day comes, you get pulled over by the policeman and he writes you a ticket and you go to the court and they say, all right, you have to pay so much. So in the same way, in Krishna's matrix, there are sinful reactions. Recently, somebody was saying he doesn't like this concept of sin. Well, I'm sorry. If you don't want to use the word sin, then use the word, there are laws of nature. You can't avoid that, whatever word you want to use. But there are laws of nature, and if you violate those laws of nature, you will get a reaction. That's all part of Krishna's matrix. So whether you use the word sin or some other word, the fact still remains. There are laws of nature. And we learn from Bhagavad Gita, whose nature? Who created it? Krishna. Exactly. Krishna has created this material matrix, this material nature. And that's why Krishna himself says, in my opinion, Krishna says, this material world is dukalayam ashasvatam. It's a temporary place of suffering. What? You're talking very negatively, Narantara. Hey, I'm just explaining the facts of life. That's what Bhagavad Gita is. It's not politically correct. It's not politically incorrect. It's the truth. You can't handle the truth, but it's still the truth. Yes, you caught that, right? Yes. I was always waiting for an opportunity to use that line. Thank you. You inspired me. So, the laws of nature is the truth. And if you violate the laws of nature, you have to pay. And that pay is called reaction. And that reaction is suffering. And in conclusion, I think I'm over time. Uh-oh. That's a reaction I'm going to get for that. The conclusion: drive in the diamond lane by becoming a devotee of Krishna. Live according to Bhagavad Gita. But most important, always, always chant Krishna's holy name. Everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you very much. All glories to this beautiful, greatest temple, ISKCON Tucson. Nowhere else do they clap for me. You guys are great. They don't clap for me in LA.
Yes.